The word today at the Intentional Living Center and throughout the hallways of the ministry is trust, building trust in marriage. It takes a lifetime to build trust, doesn't it? And it can be lost that quickly, just that quickly. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. This is the Intentional Living Center. And let me get the phone number to you right off. It's 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. And when you ring, it comes right here into the studio. We'd love to talk to you today as we focus on what it means to have an intentional life in Christ. Trust, one of the big issues that we see in our counseling work, working with people, and as I travel and speak, trust. Now, the immediate thought often turns to sexual loss of trust over sexual issues, which, of course, is a big issue, but it can be about, you know, having a spouse just doesn't tell you the truth. They lie to you. Or maybe you have a problem of stretching the truth, exaggerating, or hiding things, not feeling that you can be open about the finances or what's going on in your life. And these things can be a problem. Now, before you call and tell me the problems, because we know them and we can articulate them, I want to make our half hour, because it's so very short, as practical, helpful, and educational as we can by giving you stories of you all that are working. So here's the deal. I want you to call very quickly and share with me, and then in turn, let me share with the rest of the listeners one thing that either you or your spouse are doing in your marriage that just is evidence of building trust. It could be showing up on time, or it could be exchanging passwords on the internet or Facebook or whatever. It could be any number of things. It might not be something you've even thought that much about. It's just part of the fabric of who you are in your marriage. But what is it? One thing that might help someone else who's wrestling, wanting to get to rebuild trust, and they don't even know where to start. Your ideas matter today. All right? So let's share this together at 888-888-1717 or on Twitter at The IL Center, or join us on Facebook at theintentionallife.com. A busy week here. Our post, we put out a lot of very practical kinds of help on our Facebook. And I was just looking at our reach. You know, the number of people reached with our post this last week is now at 8,012,000 people around the world have reviewed some of the posts from the IL Center. Pretty powerful stuff. 888-888-1717.
I've been a Christian most of my life, involved and active in church and in ministry. My wife and I have been married for 18 years. A year ago, she and I were separated because I'd been lying to her for 12 years off and on about talking inappropriately to women in chat rooms online. We have 4 children as well. Since then, I have been on a journey to get my life lined up with God and the truth of His Word. But my wife has sought divorce, and in the midst of this, I believe that God is still there and I am still following the right path as I seek Him. My prayer is that my wife will see me as the man of God, and that as the husband that she married, and that I would be the man that's truthful and trustworthy, but mostly that would be real for me regardless of the outcome.
There's a guy just opening it up, man, just sharing it. This is what here's what he wants, here's what he desires. I say to men and women today, if you're getting married, you are married, it can all be lost in a second, in a moment, in a decision, in a word, in an action. And maybe you're there and you've been there and you're trying to rebuild trust, and the person you're married to just is having trouble trusting you again. Understand that. But I'll tell you, it's like putting a car in the garage. You got to back it out by being trustworthy. And you back it out by doing the next right one thing. That's why I want to give you a bunch of ideas today, things that people are doing to build trust in their marriage. Okay? Let's go. Choo-choo's on the... Choo-choo, is that your name? Choo-choo in Michigan?
Yes, choo-choo, like a choo-choo train.
Choo-choo, is that... Now, how did you get that name?
My mom gave me that name.
When you were a little girl, she called you Choo Choo.
When I was a little girl, that's right.
Well, good for you. Thank you for your call, Choo Choo. How do you build trust in your marriage? What's one thing?
My husband and I, we've been married for 29 years, and we have a wonderful and very blessed sons. They are David, 28, and Isaac, 26. And we built our trust together. We put everything under both of our name, like our bank accounts, house, cars, because we trust each other. And we're getting better and better after we've been married for 29 years.
You know, some people,
we are very blessed.
And that's good, Juju, because some don't do that. You know, some people keep things separate. They want things separate. And I've always said, you know, when we get married, we're to bring things into union. Now, I understand that there are times people keep separate accounts and so on for various reasons that are very practical, but not to hide, not to be secretive, or not to be mine versus yours, but it's just more practical sometimes. I understand that. That's part of life. But showing that kind of trust to say, hey, we're going to bring everything into joint ownership is an important step. Very good. Thank you, Choo-Choo. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dr. Randy. I've been your listener for 15 years already.
Fantastic. You keep listening in Michigan today, okay?
Thank you.
All right. From the Intentional Living Center, trust in marriage. One thing that's going on that builds trust. 888-888-1717.
This is Steve Tanner with news to help you have a healthy marriage, even in the challenging arena of online social media. Jason and Kelly Krafsky are the social media couple. One intentional practice they advise is for husbands and wives to simply share their online passwords.
I can get on her Facebook, she can get on my Facebook at any time and see what's going on. And what I say is going on is what's going on.
And we don't necessarily go on each other's account, but the thought that we both know that we could at any given time, it just gives that instant accountability to each other, and we all need that in life.
The Krafskys also have a very positive and intentional idea to help you build each other up online.
Boy, what a great place to say something encouraging or something kind and affirming to your spouse on Facebook. You know, you liken it to, I'm shouting it from the rooftops of how much I love this person.
For Intentional Living, I'm Steve Tanner.
All right, Steve, that's great. Thank you. Very practical. Social media can be an area of great distrust. Much goes on that isn't all that healthy. I was taking a class, taking some continuing training in counseling the last couple of weeks, and I heard one of the teachers that I was taking a class from give a staggering number. He said that one-third of the traffic on the internet in some way or other relates to pornography. One-third. Staggering. And even if that number isn't exactly right on, it certainly is an indication of the huge problem that can be of distrust. Talking about trust in marriage, one thing you're doing that works. Matt's in Michigan as well. Hey, Matt, welcome to the program.
Hey, Dr. Randy, how are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
We're good. One thing that my wife and I do, we're kind of newlyweds. We've only been married a year and a half, but we share everything. We ask, you know, if it's all right if we go fishing or, you know, go to the store, or we let each other know where we're going to be. If we got to work over, we call and let them know that we ain't going to be there until after work. And the trust is there. You know, it just don't leave no doors open for people to come in between and say, well, this is this and this, you know.
But listen, Matt, that's a way, if you do that and you stay that course of being that transparent and honest, I don't think we can go wrong. Now, I've never been one that says, you know, everything that crosses your mind, tell your spouse. I mean, you can drive them nuts and, you know, there's a point where you can overload them. But the reality is, if your spirit is sensitive to the fact that, hey, my spouse needs to know this, then tell them. If you said one thing, but this is actually the truth, then correct it and say, no, this is actually more accurate than that. It's those little things that we do that we develop an attitude that becomes a habit. That's how habits are developed. At the same time, we can develop a habit of being untruthful or only partially truthful with our spouse, and I'll tell you, that will bite you in the long run and your marriage. Very good, Matt. Thank you for your call from Michigan.
It is hurt, but we've had other people come in between, you know, on our relationships or, you know, jobs or whatever, and we just decided right off the bat that nobody was coming in between. If they wanted to, they should go the other way. So
good for them, and good for you for standing up against that. Okay, Matt, thank you. Let's go down to Georgia. Go south to Lori, listening in Georgia today. Hey, Lori, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I have to tell you that this was a couple years ago, and my husband and I married about 30 years at that time, and I came home and I saw him in the backyard and he was smoking and he had quit. So to me, I was hurt, and he hadn't said that he was still smoking, so of course I thought he quit. So he told me he didn't want to disappoint me, you know, and I can understand that. And he's a godly man, and he has since quit, and I have to be more understanding because I fall short myself. You know, I'm a diabetic, and eating chocolate is probably just as bad, you know, so I've learned to trust more and not get so crazy if, you know, something happens, and you just got to learn to trust more and more. That's all.
It's good. Good.
And he's trusting me so he can tell me, you know, without me flipping out or whatever, you know.
Well, you know, we want, one of the things that we focus on when we teach families is develop a home where you can be honest with each other, a safe place, as we call it. And a safe place means that I can tell you, hey, you know, I'm wrestling with this smoking thing. Keep praying for me. And it's okay, emotionally and otherwise, to share that. And I know some people, I think your husband's an example of that. Well, he didn't want to disappoint you, so he hid it. But we always are better when we can get the things out on the table that we need to, the things that we need support for in prayer. This thing of trustworthiness is a matter of a decision of how I'm going to relate and communicate with my spouse, with this question being answered. Am I not being trustworthy? Am I not sharing with my spouse for my benefit or for theirs? And I think when we can answer that question, it makes a difference, a huge difference, in the motivation of not sharing. Okay, let's go to PJ in Arizona. Hi there, my friend. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
Appreciate your call. What is it you guys do? What's one thing that builds trust in your marriage?
Well, you know, my husband and I have been married just a little over 3 years, and we both came from broken marriages, and so the trust issue was pretty high because we'd both been hurt. And so we made an agreement that we would do something that would help us to strengthen that trust between each other. And so we made a pact to get up in the mornings very early and take communion, just him and I. And we would pray and we'd ask the Lord to strengthen our marriage at the trust. And I got to say, my husband is so diligent, because if for some reason I'm just extra tired, he just makes sure, you know, we got to do this. We got to do this. It's a commitment. We made a pact. And I got to say that it has really strengthened our marriage, our trust. Huh. We are accountable to each other for a lot of things. And since I have children from my previous marriage, there was a trust issue because he felt that maybe he wasn't, you know, accepted. And so he struggled with that. And God has really just really done a miracle with that, because my children are so good to him. Growing children are good with him, and he's just taken them on like his own children. And just this commitment, this diligent, you know, thing that we've done has made such a big difference in our marriage.
Interesting. I'll tell you
so
that.
I encourage anybody, you know, that's a sacrifice you make up.
Good for you. That is a very practical and very spiritual thing to do. You talk about intimacy. Intimacy is not only sexual, guys. Intimacy is emotional, spiritual, relational, financial, all the areas of intimacy. And there's an example of some real spiritual intimacy going on between PJ and her husband. Thank you, PJ. Appreciate the call. You know, and Job, I mean, think about Job for a minute. Talk about anxiety. Not only everything he was going through, but wondering why he's going through it. And he says in Job 33, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me my life." We play a song on Family Life Radio by Johnny Diaz called Breathe, Just Breathe, right? And I looked up the words from the chorus. Listen to the words that Johnny Diaz sings. "Breathe, just breathe. Come and rest at my feet and be. Just be. Chaos calls, but all you really need is to take it in, fill your lungs, the process of God, the peace of God that overcomes. Just breathe. Let your weary spirit rest. Lay down what's good. and find what's best. Just breathe. Powerful words, aren't they? Yes, they are. And that's an excerpt from the teaching that's going to our members this month. Those of you who are supporting the ministry each month and you have requested to receive the teaching. And it's from a topic that God really laid on my heart called How to Rest an Anxious Mind. We live in a very stressful time. You know, the reports coming out about wars and rumors of wars, that sounds biblical, doesn't it? We got reports on global warming and what's happening with species dying around the world and the impact on the future of the earth. And of course, that's so controversial in discussing that, but creates anxiety, I'm sure, for many, many people. We live in a time of great stress and anxiety. Every report coming out, we see a rise in the level of anxiety in people. And my encouragement, a reminder to us as followers of Christ, that God's call for us is to have not an anxious mind. In fact, it says in Scripture, be anxious for nothing. And so I wanted to do a teaching for this month on how to rest your anxious mind. So members, watch for it. It's on its way to you. If you're not a member, come and join us today. We appreciate your support. And when you do and you request it, we'll make sure you begin receiving the monthly teaching as well. All you have to do, by the way, is go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. You can click on the donate button, or if you'd rather talk to one of our staff, you can do that during West Coast business hours. They're here to talk with you and pray with you and receive your support for the ministry. Just call us at 888-888-1717 and press number 4, and it'll take you to the staff. Again, that's 888-888-1717, and when asked, hit prompt number 4 on your phone. And I just want to say how much we appreciate the opportunity to together live an intentional life. And thank you for your support. Here's an enemy to your blended family, in fact, to any family. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. The threat is competition. Whenever you have winners or losers in a family, you're going to end up with more losers than winners. So can I encourage you as a couple in a blended family to stand together? Create shared goals for your marriage and for your family. Encourage and support each other with their own personal goals. And resolve marriage and parenting problems behind closed doors. Whatever you do in your marriage, make sure you don't compare. It's easy to start comparing your kids and their kids and our kids. Mine and yours is deadly to succeeding in a blended family. So as you stand together today and you create those goals, move forward together intentionally. And when you do, that's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
You know, that box of electronics is a radio.
No, it's not.
No, I mean that stuff can connect you to stuff you really need.
Okay, totally confused.
For example, that tablet, put the Intentional Living app on there, boom. Works for smartphones too, or that mouse. Just use it to connect the computer or laptop to theintentionallife.com.
And Intentional Living has the stuff I need?
You can hear the programs again. Get connected, grow your faith.
Okay, I'll plug in the mouse again. You download the app on these 5 devices.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. Glad to hear from you guys today for helping out and sharing your one thing that has made a difference or is making a difference in this area of trust. You know, God is trustworthy. We know that as we read Scripture. In working with people over many years, I have found, however, that some struggle trusting God because of human break in trust. Women that maybe grew up in a home where they couldn't trust their dad for any number of reasons, and then later trying to relate to a heavenly father, see, and trusting a heavenly father, trying to connect those two can be difficult for men and women. One of the reasons we need to be trustworthy in our lives today is because as we raise this next generation, we are sort of demonstrating what it means to be trustworthy. And it's easier for a person who's been in trustworthy relationships to trust a God they cannot see, but know that He is real in their heart. And so our behavior matters. What we do is practical. God has a reason, a purpose for building trust. Okay, let me get to a couple more calls here before we run out of time. Let's go to Don in New York. Hi there, Don. Welcome to the program.
Hi, welcome. Thank you very much for having me.
Appreciate your call. What about trust in your marriage?
Well, my wife and I, we've only been married 8 years, but about 3 years ago, we had a challenge in our marriage where I was working a lot of hours at work, and my wife was feeling a little bit neglected and actually started reaching out through email and Facebook to an ex-boyfriend. And I found out about it through just seeing some information on the computer. And one thing I first did before I confronted her is I prayed for strength and guidance and direction in dealing with the situation. And I think first and foremost, that was what helped more than anything. But when my wife and I started talking about it, we both accepted responsibility for the situation. But what we did what my wife did to restore the trust, well, I guess what I did to restore the trust with her is that I took some ownership instead of just pushing all the blame onto her. But then what she did to restore the trust also is right after that, without me asking or anything, she just started giving me, she aligned all of her passwords for all of our emails and Facebooks and all that social media, all of our accounts and passwords, so that any time I could know, I could check if I wanted to. And by doing that, I never had a desire to check because she did that. I just knew that obviously I could see, she knew I could see it if I needed to. But also right after that, she created a new email account because she was getting a lot of spam in the one, and she could have kept that private, and she didn't. She notified me right away, let me know, hey, I have this new email account, a new email address, everything else. And it's just one of those things, by being open, it never gave me the desire to check up because I knew that she was being open. She put that part of her behind her. We both repented, and we have a great marriage and a great open relationship now. And it helped me to do some changing in my life, and it helped her to do some changing in her life. And I think that that's just what one thing that we've done is just having that open dialogue.
Well, good for you. That's a great, great reminder, Don. We have a whole article that one of my colleagues wrote that we have on our website that talks about opposite sex friendships and protecting ourselves and understanding that dynamic. But the fact that you can go through this and then your wife in particular is saying, hey, I want to be trustworthy. I want to rebuild trust. It takes time, but I'll tell you, it's well worth it. It's well worth
absolutely.
It. It's a great story. Now, Don, are you listening on radio or online?
On radio.
On the radio. Okay. Well, great. Well, I appreciate your call from New York today.
Yeah, not a problem. And I am listening in Arizona. I'm from upstate New York.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm visiting in Arizona, and I turned into the radio, so that's why I'm listening to you on the radio.
Fantastic.
Right now.
Well, listen, when you get back home in upstate New York, you can listen online. You can just go to theintentionallife.com. And we'll be there for you. Appreciate it. Thank you, Don. Tommy, hi there.
Hi there. How you doing, Dr. Randy?
I'm doing well. Thank you for your call.
Appreciate the opportunity to share my testimony.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, my wife, I've been married for 36 years with my wife and I and three kids. My whole family are Jehovah's Witnesses, and they've been Jehovah's Witnesses ever since we've been married. And when I first got married, you know, I was just a non-Christian. I would say probably in the year 2000, I actually started getting into a whole lot of stuff, and I decided I needed a change in my life. And so I decided to get into a Christian rehab program, and that I did that for about a year and a half in a Christian rehab program. During that time I was in that program, I was belonged to a church in Chicago, and that particular church was kind of helped financing my rent when I was living in Chicago. And my wife, she saw this, but she still never decided to follow Christ the way I follow Christ. Since then, we moved out here to Arizona, and you know, I have a church that I kind of helped build out here in Arizona.
Intentionally, what we do today is we share our income. Everything is transparent. My bills are transparent. My paycheck is transparent. There's nothing that I have been able to that I try and hide from my wife. I intentionally allow her to inspect whatever's necessary for her to look at, and vice versa. We look at each other's check. We don't argue. We have a budget we set up, and we personally follow that budget, although we do have two separate accounts in which I have my own little, my allowance, and she has her allowance, and that's what we use those accounts for. But, her being a Jehovah's Witness, God has just allowed me to really transform me first and foremost, instead of me trying to transfer her, and instead of me trying to tell her what she is, how she's wrong. Too many times, Dr. Randy, I tried to discourage her from going to what she's trying to do, and too often we would get into major disputes, but God has just allowed me to, let her have him.
Well, that's the key, Tommy. Listen, you preached a great lesson there. We have differences, but we keep coming back to what God's Word teaches, and through that we realize that love is the ultimate answer, isn't it, in our relationships.
Hi, this is Christina from West Virginia. My story is my husband and I, neither one were saved when we first got together. We've come through a lot of trials and a lot of different things, maybe some that a lot of people haven't went through, a lot I'm sure they have. The first time I heard the Intentional Living Program, I was thinking of the verse that says, choose this day whom you will serve. And I changed it to choose this day whom we will love. And I choose every morning to love and to honor my husband. He's my best friend. He's my everything next to Christ.
There you go. It's a decision, isn't it? Intentional living is a decision. We ask questions, a lot of why questions that frankly we can never answer. But when we start asking the what question, what should I do next? Or how should I proceed? When you ask these kind of future-focused, action-oriented kind of questions, there's where intentional living really thrives. That's where it lives. When you declare what God's intention is and you know what it is, you declare it, you step out. When you do that, that is intentional living. Christina, that's an intentional living decision that you're making for you and your husband. God bless you for doing that. We have more Christinas, more decisions like that. We have less family problems, less financial problems, less health problems, less challenges when we choose to live an intentional life. Hey, thanks for joining us today as we talked about marriage. Love to hear your comments. Share them with us on our comment line, 888-888-1717, and we'll see you next time.